Hey, St. John, welcome to the Post-Sermon Podcast. I am Deacon Estalia, and with me today is Vicar Tim.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So we are discussing your sermon from the Wednesday midweek service,
correct? Yes.
Okay, so tell me, what was the text that you preached on?
Yeah, so as part of our sermon series, one text was the parable of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15, but this week I was incorporating into our sermon Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, which details kind of this final moment, in a sense, between Joseph and his brothers, where, of course, you know, Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers, goes to Egypt, becomes second in command, meets his brothers again, reconciled. He forgives them for what they did to him. But now here at the very end of Genesis, their father has died, and the brothers think that now Joseph is gonna get them back for everything that they did to him.
So what was your central teaching?
So my central teaching is that that Jesus forgives our sins, and that forgiveness is always good. It's always true. When he forgives our sins, it's not like, oh, well, you know, we need to then go and ask forgiveness for a sin that's already been forgiven even more. Like Joseph's brothers, they're not convinced they were actually forgiven. When Jesus speaks forgiveness to us, we're forgiven. It's true. And that was kind of building up this idea that, like, a lot of times we're still going to agonize over these past sins that we committed, sins that we were already forgiven, but Jesus forgave them. That forgiveness is good and it is true.
Why do you think Joseph's brothers didn't believe that they were actually forgiven?
I think it's just in some part because of the magnitude of what they had done.
That they just didn't deserve it, right?
Yeah. That, like, I mean, they sold their own brother into slavery. I mean, that's a pretty intense, great sin. And I think it was hard for them to imagine that, yeah, Joseph really truly forgave them, and you know, they're worried that without their father there, that, you know, Joseph's gonna pay them back.
And in the reading too, when they didn't believe Joseph's forgiveness, didn't Joseph weep?
Yeah, he does. He weeps.
Yeah,
because he had already forgiven them, and
they didn't believe him.
Yeah, and I think he's saddened that they haven't been fully reconciled.
It really is an amazing story, and you can see this picture of Joseph's forgiveness is just like, well, it's just a small picture into the forgiveness that we have through our Lord Jesus. Because Joseph wasn't perfect. He was still a sinner. Mm-hmm. And yet, how much more do we need God's forgiveness? And yeah. Are we like Joseph's brothers, where we still convict ourselves? We don't deserve that. We still judge our sins and say we're unworthy.
Yeah, and I mean, one of those things to remember is that, like, when somebody says, "I forgive you," I mean, we teach that they're proclaiming Christ's forgiveness to you as well. It's not just them who's forgiving you in that moment. It's Jesus who's forgiving you. And that was another idea I wanted to kind of bring out in my sermon, that it's not when we forgive each other, in a sense, we're standing there in the place of Jesus, and Jesus is forgiving when we're forgiven and when we forgive others.
Yeah, that's so great. And I mean, Joseph on his own wouldn't have been able to forgive his brothers.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, it's the same thing for us. On our own, we can't forgive at all. Right? Uh-huh. But I love what you said. I mean, this is, it's like when someone forgives you and you hear those words from them, like that's hearing Jesus's words, essentially, right? That they're standing in that place of Christ, offering that forgiveness. Which, once again, then I think it takes the work off of us. Like, this is not something that we can do by any means, but this is the work of the cross, yeah. right? What Jesus had done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you told a story about yourself in
seventh
grade.
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you included this story in your sermon?
Yeah, I was preparing, thinking, well, do I have any examples where I kind of felt like, you know, the brothers here? And that was one of the first things that popped into my mind was that story, because, yeah, it does pop into my mind every now and then where I just think, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Oh, that was such a terrible time. Oh, why did I do that? I felt those feelings of shame and guilt about, you know, hitting one of my close friends all over again. And it's just, it's painful doing that each time, because I'd be perfectly happy to just forget it, never think about it ever again. And yet it still keeps creeping back into my mind every now and then.
And then the way that you related that to all of us, I think we all have memories of past sins that do gnaw at us a lot. Actually, at the Best Practices Conference, Ted Kober had that. Well, yeah, you were in the same session I was on this topic of forgiveness. And it reminds me of what he was telling a story about this. I believe he was a seminarian who couldn't forgive himself for things he had done many years ago.
Yeah.
But then just that reminder that, I think it was Ted, or yeah, that he had given this guy of like, well, do you believe that God's forgiveness is like more than your own forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, because when we do that, when we say we can't forgive ourselves, it's almost like our forgiveness matters more than like God's.
Yeah.
But no, I think that that's so great. We do that. We are that judge in the courtroom of other people and their sins against us. But I think we do it to ourselves as well.
Yeah.
We think of those sins that that we've done in the past that maybe we forgot that they're forgiven, or we maybe know, but we still ruminate over them. But regardless, like I just love that the focus, just for us to put our focus back on what God has done for us, that overrules any sins that are hard for our own selves to forgive.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I brought up that, like, when the memories of that event come back to me, they always seem to just kind of stop, like, after I hit the guy, when I'm feeling all the shame, all the guilt, I realize I never really think about what happened when I went to my friend later and asked for forgiveness. Like that part of the story just never seems to come back to me. And I thought, but that's the most important part of the story, is that I did receive forgiveness. My friend did forgive me, and I received God's forgiveness as a result of that.
Yeah, I think that's such a great example here. And I think, and maybe we're even thinking of times where we asked for forgiveness, but the person withheld that forgiveness from us, which unfortunately I think happens a lot too. But what maybe can we remember in those situations where we aren't forgiven?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in that sense, I mean, we can still confess our sins individually to pastor, confessing our sins in church. I mean, we can receive absolution there and forgiveness there. And of course, through that, you know, that can help in eventually becoming reconciled to the person you sinned against and working towards receiving that forgiveness from them.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think, you know, we're still on the not yet side of creation.
Yeah.
Where we do sin against one another, and we're not always fully assured of forgiveness by someone else, whether they're withholding that or maybe they've already died and we're still feeling guilty. But that doesn't change what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like that.
How did you intend to benefit your hearers and their faith or life?
Yeah, so I imagine that all of us struggle at some point with these old sins that have already been forgiven, and yet the memories of them still come back to us. And so are trying to speak into those moments that, I mean, we trust in the forgiveness that ultimately comes from Christ, that comes from him dying on the cross, rising from the dead. And the fact that when Jesus says, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. It's Jesus who spoke that. He speaks words of truth. And us reminiscing over old sins isn't going to change the fact that Jesus already forgave us. And that is something beautiful to trust in and to hold in that, and as you said earlier, it's not us forgiving ourselves that we ultimately trust in. It's in Jesus forgiving us that we ultimately trust in.
So we focused a lot on the text of Joseph forgiving his brothers. Let's bring in the prodigal son a little bit. That's the main parable that we've been focusing on this whole season of Lent. So how does that fit into what we've been talking about with this forgiveness?
Yeah, so, I mean, the prodigal son commits some pretty impressive sins in his in that parable, and you know, demanding his share of the inheritance, basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead, wasting all the money, being brought so low that he wants to be a servant, like what Joseph's brothers say to him. And so I could easily imagine the prodigal son down the road having these same feelings of guilt and shame over these things that he did, even though his father already forgave him. And I can easily imagine him thinking, did my father really forgive me for this one? And of course, like, this is me kind of imagining down the road. Jesus doesn't actually tell us this, and that's kind of a nice lead into Joseph in that we actually have a very real example in the Bible, real story actually happened, of people feeling this exact way of not being convinced they're forgiven, unable to let go of those sins that were already forgiven.
It reminds me, in Pastor Wagner's sermon from last week, he had mentioned that the father had been like waiting, or he imagined the father waiting for his son to return. That he's kind of looking out the window, and while his son was far off, he goes and he starts running towards him. And I mean, how much truer is that with our Lord? Like, he is very patient with us, waiting for us. He doesn't want any sheep to escape from his fold.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Just this idea of, I think in our sins, we can very much imagine God, you know, seeing him as our judge in his wrath and his anger, which, yes, that is there, but that's why he sent his son Jesus to die for us, so that we can come to a father who is full of compassion, knowing that through the cross, God can very much welcome us with open arms, loving us as his baptized children, right? We have those promises to cling to. Because this, you know, just like the prodigal son, even if we've been in the church all of our lives, like, we still were born into sin. By nature, we're still fighting our sinful nature every day and have to daily repent, because we're not at all, you know, we're falling short every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so no, so I like that. I like getting to bring, I think there's a lot of similarities between the prodigal son and then the story of Joseph and then our own lives as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that just how you interwove all of that, I think, into the Wednesday sermon. Okay, well, this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon's in the show notes. You can also find it on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Vicar, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
My pleasure.
All right, take care, you guys. Bye.
Bye.